the time of the year when, with the harvest coming in and our harvest services, we start to reassess ourselves. We start to think, yet another year gone. And the kids have gone back to school. The students are back at university. And we start to think. Also takes us back, perhaps, to school. And one of the things we always did at school and at university is revise. And this is perhaps the time of the year for some revision. As we said before exams, we always revised. Remind ourselves of those things that we've forgotten. You sit down and think about all the things you used to know and used to... We forget easily. Things become vague in our minds. Some of us have been believers for a long time. We may well be a bit rusty on what Christians believe. Certain things we just take for granted and we nod to them and we forget. But at any time, we may be asked for a reason for the hope that we have. How would we cope? On the way home, you could meet a neighbour who asks, where have you been? Chapel. But why? There's no God. We don't believe in a God. What do you guys do there on a Sunday morning? It's all make-believe, don't you know that? This is what we hear. How can you believe that somebody rose from the dead on the third day? How would you get on? Make some excuse? Hesitate? Try to avoid the question? Feel somewhat awkward. Hence, I think the need for revision. What are the main things that we believe? What are the main points of our faith? How do we find out about our faith? Where does it come from? Where did we find out about the need of salvation? And how to achieve it? How did we find out about God? Well, the main source, the real source, is the Bible. Bible is God's revelation of himself to us. It is God's word, a unique book like no other. It is the infallible word of God as originally given. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. And then in Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And then in Peter, 2 Peter 1, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It is from the Bible that we have our knowledge of God. It is from the Bible we know the way of redemption. Written by the Holy Spirit, implanted in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It is not the ideas of men. That is the main revelation. But as Calvin put it, there are two sources of revelation. There is the Bible and there is creation, showing and demonstrating the power and the majesty of God. It is not ideas of men. Now, men have always questioned the very existence of God. They've always questioned it. They've always said, he doesn't exist. But then they've said, well, if he does exist, what's he like? What's this God of yours like? This is questions each one of us can receive at any time, and which we must be ready to give an answer to. So what does the Bible say about God? Well, firstly, God is eternal. No beginning, no end. That's something that's really impossible for us to comprehend. That anything can have no beginning and no end. For everything we've got an experience of has a beginning, has an end. The beginning might be a very, very long time ago, billions of years. It might be sooner. The end is inevitable for everything. Each one of us has a limited time. We end. Those who are gardeners know that this is the time of the year when many plants come to the end. They've grown vigorously, they've looked good, they've been healthy, but now, this time, they end. God is eternal. God does not start, God does not finish. And God is also infinite. He has got no limits. There is absolutely no limit to God. God is unchanging. So much of what we experience is change. People change. Countries change. All sorts of things round us change. God doesn't. As God is perfect, any change would make him less than perfect. If he is at the actual pinnacle, any movement and change, he comes down. God is unchanging. He is holy. He is holy. Totally without fault. Absolutely perfect. He is sovereign. He is supreme. There is none higher. Despite this, we read in Scripture that God is loving and God is just. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He is present everywhere. You can't get away from God. People try with all sorts of things. Remember the story of Jonah. Jonah was told to go and do a particular task in the city of Nineveh, which was to the east of him. He didn't want to go. So he reasoned that if he went in the opposite direction to the west, God wouldn't know where he was and he wouldn't have to do it. And we know the story. We don't need to go in for it. He failed. John puts it this way in 1 John. Be a moment. 1 John 3. We are 1 John 4, 7 to 12. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. God loved us. He gave his own Son as an atonement for our sin. And in Colossians we read, Colossians 1, by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. God, our God, the God of the universe, sent his Son, Jesus, into this world. Who is Jesus? It's the next question you get asked. Jesus is God and he is also man. He is God and also human, part of the Trinity. Difficult again to grasp. Difficult to get our minds around how this can be. To quote Wesley, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Born of a virgin. Died on a cross in our place. Rose on the third day as he said he would. Ascended to heaven. And he promised to return. And that is the only promise in Scripture about Jesus that's not been fulfilled. His return. Jesus himself said, I and the Father are one. And in John 14, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's a verse in this day and this age we need to take very much to our heart. There is one way to God, through Jesus Christ. No other way. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He came to pay the price of sin. He died on the cross in our place as our substitute. His death satisfied the righteous anger of God. It's only when we accept this can we truly receive forgiveness. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Jesus promised he would come to comfort and to teach. Note, the Holy Spirit, a person. Not a thing, not an influence, but a person. With all the attributes of a person. Jesus promised him. In John 14, we read these words, verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And then in verse 25, all this I have spoken while I am still with you. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. It was the Holy Spirit who inspired the writers of the Bible. As it said, it's not of a private interpretation. It's not by the will of men. It is what the Holy Spirit taught them to write. And it's the same Holy Spirit who will interpret it to us today if we let him. It was the Holy Spirit that led you to Christ. That is, if you are a true believer. If you want to know more of the Holy Spirit, I would recommend one book to you, actually. It's The Work of the Holy Spirit by Octavius Winslow. An excellent treatise on the work of the Holy Spirit. Another comment you might get from your friend or your neighbour as you go back from chapel is regarding angels and Satan. Now, you don't believe all that, they'll say, do you? Well, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible tell us? Well, it makes clear that angels are real and Satan is real. 2 Corinthians 11 tells us something about that. Verse 13. Yeah. For such men, she's talking about people who preach falsely, such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising then, if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness, their end will be what their actions deserve. And then we go on in verse 25. No, we don't. Angels are real. They make no bones about that in the scriptures. We can read about them in many, many places. We don't have time this morning to go through all of these. In Peter 1 and 3, we read very briefly these words. Who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him? Angels are mentioned right through the Bible, but we have many misconceptions about them. This is where the trouble starts. Angels are depicted in the Bible, if you read it carefully, as men dressed in white. Not as creatures as we see in pictures with feathery wings and things of that nature. Each time we come across angels doing God's work and bringing messages, men in white, or men. They came to see Lot in the city. They appeared to Elijah, or one did, when he was in the desert feeling highly depressed. And then they were there on the mount as Jesus ascended. It says men in white apparel, or men in white clothes, depending on your translation. So there you get them. You'll get them in Genesis. You get them in Kings. You get them in Acts. Right the way through. Angels are creatures created by God to do his work and to worship him. Satan. Well, the popular image of Satan as a creature with a red skin and horns and a forked tail is exactly what he'd like you to believe, because while you're busy looking for that creature, you don't see him. Satan comes in many disguises, so we are not aware of his presence. Angels created by God to serve him. Satan, the arch enemy of God, who will be totally and utterly defeated one day. He's real. Make no doubt about it. Satan is a real creature, the enemy of God. What does the Bible say about us, the human race? We nearly finished our revision now. Well, the thing it tells us about us is that we are in rebellion against him. We got free will, and we chose to go our own way. It's known as sin. Rather than having God at the center, we want us at the center. We've placed ourselves there, and we rebel against the Almighty God. We are, without exception, sinners. It's not a nice thought, not a nice thought at all, but nonetheless true, whether we want to believe it or not. 1 John says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But, and that's a big word in scripture, but, John 3. God so loved the world, he gave his own son, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We each need salvation. We must each admit our guilt to God and ask forgiveness in the name of Jesus. through his merits, clothed in his righteousness, as one of our hymnists writes it. Now this is really totally amazing. Wesley said, "And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?" Just think on that. That this God, this great creator God, in the form of his Son, should die for us. For you. Should be punished for your sin and my sin. Just think on those things. So revision over. These are the things we need to know. These are the things that we can be asked about. These are the things which do, unafraid, grow rusty in our minds as the years go by. Does God exist? Just think of the change in your life when you first believed. Think back on answers to prayers over the years. Think back to all those testimonies you have heard, how lives have been totally and utterly transformed. If you can't do this, then ask yourself the question, am I really saved? Or am I just religious? Have my sins been dealt with? Am I going to heaven? Or is it just on my wish list and I have no certainty? Only you really know the answer to that question. Oh, and remember, yes, God knows as well. Amen.